Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
It's almost like they're purposely trying to look like idiots.
But I still don't understand, like, what they were trying to do.
I don't know.
I don't get the messaging behind it.
All righty, welcome back, Mike and Mihailu. First episode in September. It's amazing. We're already almost at the end of the year here.
I can't believe it. I mean, football season, school is here.
I know. Yeah, school started today for a lot of Buffalo schools, right?
It did, yeah. I mean, our two boys are going to, like, basically their version of pre-K, and it's like, you know, you blink, it's like, what happened to summer? Yeah. It's just gone.
Yeah, like you said, Bills Thursday, big day for the Bills.
Unbelievable. Yeah, first game on their path to the Super Bowl, which is shocking. But yeah, I mean, it blows my mind how fast summer went. And then boom, the NFL season is here. And then all of a sudden you see on social media, everybody posting their pictures of their kids on their first day of school, myself included.
And what's crazy is, I mean, we're, you know, football season seems to go fast in Buffalo, right? Before you know it, it's Christmas and then it's New Year's and we're in 2023 already.
Well, they always say that, you know, there's two seasons in the Northeast, winter and July.
Yeah.
But when Andrew Cuomo was governor, remember, and he actually said there was like the mass exodus of people to Florida.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's gotta be the weather.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the weather. No, it's the taxes. Living in the People's Republic of New York.
The BS that we deal with, and not even just, you know, taxes is one thing, and I will say that. But if you look at the way we dealt with COVID here in New York compared to a place like Florida, it wasn't the weather that people were going down there for. It was freedom go out and hey, I'm going to go to a restaurant with my spouse or my children. Right? That was what it was.
You know, and my wife and I struggle with it all the time about, like, putting our house on the market and saying, you know, all of our friends are living in Florida or in the Carolinas or in a better place than the People's Republic of New York. And it's like, what are we doing here? Because quite frankly, if it weren't for family, you know, we have young kids and I don't want to uproot our young kids to be away from their grandparents, aunts, uncles. Yep. That's the only thing that's keeping us here in New York State.
And that's how it is for a lot of people. And you know, and I say this to a lot too. For me, with all the clients that we work with in New York, I don't want to just pick up and leave. I love our clients. I love the people. And I love the people of Buffalo. I love the people of Rochester. We have a great community here. And it's a shame that politicians continue to just ruin that greatness of this state.
And I think of COVID, and I was, Ron DeSantis was asked the question by, you know, a journalist about, well, you know, your opponent basically says, you know, you're being a dictator. How do you respond? It's like, and he had such a brilliant answer. He's like, well, wait a minute. You know, being a dictator was shutting down schools, shutting down restaurants, shutting down the entire economy. We didn't do that in Florida. And look at the population gain in Florida compared to New York. But COVID had a major, major impact and a negative one on our businesses and especially our schools.
And I was going to say, not just shutdowns, forced vaccinations, forced masking, forced social distancing, everything, right?
Yeah, and it was the height of hypocrisy watching, like, appointed Governor Kathy Hochul, you know, taking pictures with school kids where these poor young kids are in masks and all the adults are not. And that actually leads us to our first guest. Her name is Gina Gentry. She's on the live line right now. She's a teacher in New York State. But unfortunately, Gina, for the first time in many years, correct me if I'm wrong, you will not be in a school like you have in years past, correct? Gina?
This is my first day in 15 years. Not going.
Yeah. So what are your, I mean, this is the first week of school for a lot of families, myself included. What are your feelings on the fact that for the first time, as you said, in 15 years, you're not going to be in a classroom?
It's, you know, my heart is obviously very heavy. I really enjoyed going the first day and seeing the joy on the kids' faces and just knowing that they felt safe there. Because there's a lot of outside factors that people don't realize that happens to a lot of kids. And school is the one constant in their life that provides them security and joy to a lot of these kids, and sometimes even a meal. So it's very hard for me. It's been very emotional, but it was a choice that, you know, unfortunately I had to make.
So let's begin, because Mike and I do have a lot of questions about how we got to where we are today. And it began at the height of COVID with masks and shutdowns. Again, you're a school teacher in New York State. You know, you're basically a literacy coach. You were a kindergarten teacher, second grade teacher, fourth grade teacher. How did the progression begin at the height of COVID, where you started experiencing problems of, well, wait a minute, maybe I'm not welcome in this school district anymore? Take us back to the beginning.
Yeah, sure. So when COVID hit, you know, March 2020 and everybody, you know, it was this whole mask thing or whatever, I became aware of the fact that I could not tolerate a mask. I freaked out, you know, and I have other things that I don't do well with. So, but I avoid them. So I was not able to avoid the mask scenario, but I was able to tolerate a shield and feel comfortable and not panic. So the first year in the height of COVID, when everybody was dying, I was able to obtain a medical exemption and work in the school for the remainder of that year. And then this past year, on the very first day of school, ironically, I was in the school. I got a page from the principal to call the office. And when I called the office, she said, you are not supposed to be in the building if you don't have a mask. And I said, well, you know that I can't do a mask, that I need a shield. I have my medical exemption from last year. You know, I can get another one for this year, but it's the same thing. And she made me talk to human resources, and they told me that I was not allowed in the school until I could put on a mask. Got my union involved. I had to use my sick time, my sick bank, and then I was put on unpaid leave for a short time. The district never followed through and did not contact the doctor and did not contact anybody that they said they were going to follow through with the procedures of what they were. So it kind of brought me to a point when they did lift the mask mandate for schools. No one reached out to me, my principal, the district, no one reached out and said, hey, you can come back now. You know, so it kind of, to me, showed me that I was not valued in my place of employment that I'd been for the past 5 years. Before that, I was at a different school.
But that's quite a challenge, is it not? I mean, having to go from a mask to...
Yeah, and Gina, real quick too, I look at this, for me, I always say this, I've said this to Stefan before on the show, and I say this to politicians when we interview them. When you argue something like this in these schools, in board meetings, with the superintendent, whatever, you know, just like politicians would argue with the other side in a meeting, right? Stefan, what would that be called? Like in New York State, like just a house meeting or a whatever.
Yeah,
it is, right?
Something simple.
Right. When you argue that certain thing, is the response just like, yeah, sorry, we can't help you? Is that all they tell you? Or do they give you actual data to say, this is why we want this from you?
Oh, no, they didn't tell me any data. In fact, I had, when I spoke with the human resource lady and my union rep, I said to her, there's no red zones anymore in Erie County. That's not what they're going by. So there's no need to, you know, like there's other options that can be suffice, whatever. And she argued with me, you know, I had even with my union rep who was supporting me on this and thought it was ridiculous, said, I'll come in 20 minutes earlier than everybody else. If the concern is being in contact with people, I'll come in 20 minutes earlier and I'll stay 20 minutes later. I won't have any contact with people. And it was refused. So yeah, they didn't give any data. They had nothing to go by because I was not in the classroom. So I didn't have any interaction with kids. I could have done everything from my office. And it was just, nope, this is what we're doing. And the kicker is after I did come back and, you know, I went back for a short time, mostly to clean out my office and give my resignation and say goodbye to the colleagues that I had known for the past 5 years that I truly loved. I found out through other people that work in that district that there were others that were allowed in with just a shield on, and it wasn't just, you know, they had to wear a mask. So that was really kind of hurtful and frustrating that other people were allowed to do that, but I was not.
But then you did in some respects, provide a note from a doctor saying this is why Gina needs a shield. You go back. Then what happened when it comes to them questioning you about a vaccine? What happened then?
So I had called finally after a couple of weeks, and I was like, well, no one's calling me to come back. I had called the district and I said, I would like to come back. And, you know, now that the mask mandate is lifted and you guys, you know, will allow me in, she said, okay, you need to just get a note from your doctor and say that you are able to come back to work, because I had to go on like medical leave, it was underneath. I submitted that note and I was getting, you know, I was ready to come back. I was going to go back on a Friday just because the way my week worked out, I had a couple of different appointments in that week. So I went back on a Friday and I received a call Thursday before with the woman that was my direct kind of person, like the go-between with the school and human resources, and one of the other people in the office. And they had informed me that because I was not vaccinated, that I would have to test before coming back on Monday. And what's interesting is I never gave human resources my vaccine status. They didn't even say, are you vaccinated? If you're not, then you need to test. If you are, then you're fine. They just automatically said, because you're not vaccinated. So I don't know if there was something that was said from my superiors in the school directly. If I have no idea, but it was kind of interesting that that was the first thing that, you know, they called me back specifically just to tell me that.
Real quick question too. You're in the know in schools, you know, in your area, and I'm sure you know other teachers across the state. How many people has this happened to? How many people are without a job right now? How many people are struggling to get to their job right now because they can't, you know, get past these mandates or requirements?
Yeah. So right now, I know a lot of teachers that have left the profession for multiple different reasons. They've left it because of the mandates. They've left it because of the things that are being infused into the curriculum and into the school that are just not what we went to college for, you know, that we went to go into teaching for. So there were some that were very affected by the mandates as far as like the mask and that. Multiple left for that, but more left because of the other reasons, I would say. And because right now, New York State did not mandate the vaccine, at least for the area that I was in, nobody left because of that. But there were, I would say, a good majority of teachers, at least in the district I was in, that if that mandate came down, the vaccine mandate, they would have walked out with no hesitation.
How frustrating is it? Because I know, in addition to you being a teacher, and the most important job you have is being a mom. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you're basically working two part-time jobs now rather than the profession you love, all because of vaccine and mask mandates.
Yes. Yeah. It is very frustrating. I mean, I went to school to go into the education field because I wanted to inspire, because I wanted to change the lives of kids, because I saw how, as growing up in, you know, where I went to school, that there were some teachers that didn't value students, and it, you know, and even as myself, and I was very heartbroken by that. And that kind of drove me to want to go into the profession, to be that teacher that made a, you know, a difference. And, you know, it kind of reminded me this past weekend, I was at a Labor Day fair, and I was just walking through the crowd, and I hear someone say, that was my teacher. And I'm like, I didn't even really think at first. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You like, you know, I didn't know if it was me or whatever. I just heard that loud. And then all of a sudden I hear Mrs. Gentry, and I turn around and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how are you? I haven't seen him in years. I mean, this is going to date me, but he's a senior. You know, he's at a different school district now than what, you know, where I taught him. But he was doing well. He was so excited to see me. He gave me a hug. It makes you feel really good that kids actually remember you and that they, that you made a difference in their lives.
And now you're not going to be able to make a difference when it comes to coaching teachers, helping students. So what kind of message do you want to give to a lot of other people who are not sure if they want to so-called fight the system the way that you have, because you actually walk the walk? You know, you could have said, okay, I'll comply. I'll get the vaccine. I'll wear a mask. But you didn't based on your values. So whether you're a teacher, firefighter, first responder, or in any profession, what kind of message you want to give to people about the importance of standing up for what's right and standing up for your values, even if it means something as catastrophic as losing your career?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, it's always important to stay true to yourself, because you have the values instilled in you because that's what you truly believe. And you can't let a place of employment, or you can't let others influence you in the way, because then you're not living the path that was that God put you on, right? To spread good news, to spread your message, or even just, you know, whatever your values are, to kind of be that person that inspires other people. We have so many people in this world, students just everywhere, hurting. You see it on the news all the time, all these things that are happening. You have a chance to make a difference. But if people don't value who you are and they don't appreciate you, then it's not easy to walk away, but it's the best thing, because then that's showing that you value yourself more, and that you will find some other thing, right? I mean, eventually, will I get back into education? Possibly, but I'm going to find a place that I know that values me as a person. And if they don't value me, then I have to make sure that I value myself enough to hold my head high and say I'm worth more than this.
Amen to that. Well, thank you for your perseverance, your courage, for sticking to your values. That's Gina Gentry, teacher in New York State, former educator, unfortunately. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
All right, take it easy. How sad is that? How sad is that? That a dedicated, hardcore, passionate educator that wants to help teachers, help kids, and is now gone from the classroom and schools all over vaccines and masks.
Yep. And I, you know, every day you're reading stories like this, right? If it's not this, Stefan, if it's not still pushing COVID mandates or requirements, it's crime out of control in our country. I'm sure you saw that teacher that was just killed. I believe it was outside of Memphis, right? You know, every day, hundreds of people overdosing on fentanyl. You have murder rates up, carjackings up. The city of Chicago this weekend, I saw, as of yesterday, 300-something shootings, I believe it was, 7 people killed.
Where's the protests?
Yeah, really. You know, I mean, if it's not one thing, it's the other. This country is spiraling out of control, and if you don't care about that or you're not seeing it, there is something wrong with you.
Well, on the electoral perspective on that, there's a lot of moving parts now leading up to changes where leaders could enact different policies. Yep. In New York State, did you see that poll with Kathy Hochul and Lee Zeldin?
I did.
Independent poll.
Yeah.
That has Lee Zeldin only down 4 points and Kathy Hochul under 50% in a poll in the race for governor.
Yeah.
I mean, this is after Labor Day, and you're going to see things really, really heating up in New York State.
And I hope he does, Stefan. We've talked a lot about this. I hope he really starts to fire now, because it's getting, what is it, 63 days from today is election day?
It's coming up close.
Yeah, you know, we got to start, you know, you got to start rallying that base, because New York State, another 4, 8, 12, 20 years of liberal leadership is a major problem for the citizens in New York State.
Well, I think two things that happened that I think could impact the race for governor. Number one, it was the college loan forgiveness.
Yep.
I think people, even just blue-collar Democrats, are angry about that, and they're going to take it out of the ballot box.
Yep.
On Democrats like Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul, major Democrats. But the other one was the insane, and I believe unconstitutional, changes when it comes to applying for pistol permit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and again, this thing that's frustrating is, Stefan, we've talked about this a million times, it doesn't even make sense, the stuff they're doing. Like, I get it. I get it, trying to curb, you know, bad things from happening. I totally get that. But everything they institute, whether it's the gun policy, whether it's a student loan policy, it doesn't make any sense. Like, when you add it all up, if you look at the total bill, the total whatever, you just keep going down and you're like, this isn't gonna do anything.
Well, my godmother's husband, technically my uncle, but just a great guy, you know, I was running around like crazy trying to get him to have his pistol permit application in prior to that September 1st deadline. Right. So you wouldn't have to go through an in-person interview and then handing over your social media accounts. And even for someone like me with a concealed carry permit, and, you know, the owner of a Glock and multiple firearms, I don't even know where I can carry a gun.
No, I know.
To protect my family.
Right. Mike and I just talked about this. Mike Hayflick and I just talked about this on the radio show Saturday. So let's get this straight. Everywhere where shootings happen, you don't want people to have guns.
Law-abiding citizens don't right. have guns. The criminals right. are going
to
have guns.
Right, right. But the people that actually will be able to help are not allowed to have firearms, right? And again, we talk about all this money we're spending all over the world right now, whether it's in, you know, green energy, whether it's, you know, sending to other countries, whether it's funding certain things. We're spending all this money. And how about just helping out schools? Maybe we add 2 resource officers in each school that have firearms that can protect these kids. Maybe when we talk about this, look what a Bills game is like, Stefan. You can't go anywhere without seeing an officer with a rifle or a dog.
Good.
Right. Good. And I agree. Good. And what do you know? Stadiums don't get shot up every 5 minutes.
Well, and that's the thing. Even think about it from a federal perspective with the, you know, $1 trillion outrageous spending plan from Joe Biden. They're hiring 87,000 IRS agents, and yeah. they're not going after big fish. They're going after basically us.
Yeah.
Why not take those resources, that revenue, which taxpayers paid the bill for, and add a school resource officer in every school in America?
Yeah. Yeah. What about taking the $2.5 trillion or whatever you spent on COVID and taking some of that money and doing the same thing, or going to the border with it, or doing something productive for society, maybe figuring out what's going on in Chicago?
But that's the thing, though, like Chicago, New York City, some of these regions have the most strict gun laws
yep.
on the books in yep. the entire nation, and yep. they're the most violent places in the country
every day.
So now, what does that show you?
Yeah, again, take a look at the bill, read it start to finish. Doesn't make any sense.
But the Second Amendment is as yep. clear as day. It's as clear as day. And that's why I firmly believe that at some point in time, New York's new gun laws and, you know, put in place by Kathy Hochul, I think it will be overturned based on the fact that they are absolutely positively unconstitutional. I applied for a concealed carry pistol permit when an inmate threatened me and my family. I didn't have police officers guard me 24/7. I took action into my own hands, and I became a legal owner of a firearm to protect my family. Now I'm afraid that I might become a felon, not knowing this lengthy list of where I can and cannot carry a firearm.
Here's what's scary to me too. You know, I think one of them was bars, right?
Oh, you
yeah.
name it.
Yeah. So I go to a dinner with my children and my wife. I'm not drinking. I'm completely sober, drinking water, pop, whatever. Somebody pulls a gun out, an illegal gun, and starts shooting up the place. I legally can't pull out my gun being sober and in a restaurant because that's illegal now. Think
You're
about
a
that.
Felon.
Think about that.
You're a felon. And, yeah. and what are criminals doing? Criminals and those who do not abide by laws. Do you think someone's going to all of a sudden say, whoa, wait a minute, Kathy Hochul said I can't be in a supermarket or a yeah. theater or a movie. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get rid of this illegal gun that's in my waistband. Yeah. Whoa, wait a minute. Criminals don't follow or abide by laws. They don't give a damn. And so I can no longer protect my family, you or others in many places in New York State because of this absurd new gun law. And I think that's the reason why Lee Zeldin's only down by 4 points, according to that one poll.
And I think what's crazy is that, you know, I'm going to try and get in the head of the left right now for a second. I don't mean politicians. I mean the people that vote for them. You would think with the way the world is today and with the crime rising across the country, not like rising like, oh, carjackings are up 2% this year. No, they're up like 200%. Oh, the murder rate, it's not up like 0.5%. It's up like 30%, right? So you look at these statistics, you would think somebody with a brain would be like, yeah, you know, it probably makes sense for people to have firearms because you need to protect yourself, number one. Number two, the government has told us what we can and can't do for 2.5 years straight. If they take our firearms, don't you think it's a little bit of an issue? Like, what if they wanted to just take over the country and we all had to follow their lead on everything, right? Everyone on the left makes it seem like, oh, well, one gun's not going to solve the problem. No, but 300 million will,
right?
It's not one gun. It's 150 million Americans owning a gun that will save the country.
But that's why people on the left and politicians, especially on the left, what they want to do is they want to pass feel-good laws that look good in a press release. It looks good in the media, but it doesn't do a damn thing to solve the problems of our country. You mentioned the border. You would think, and this is not a Republican or Democrat issue, the free flow of fentanyl across our border. You would think, okay, fentanyl is killing people across our country, ruining families, destroying lives. Okay, why don't we do something to close the border and stop the flow of drugs? That's not happening. The exact opposite is happening.
And I'll ask you this. I always go to you on Ukraine type of stuff because that's your heritage. That's where your family's from. What's confusing to me is they're pumping in billions of dollars. Now, I get it, to preserve a free state in Ukraine. I get that. But it's about a border in Ukraine and a border being breached in Ukraine by the Russians, right? That's what you're trying to stop. What is the difference between that and our southern border that's being breached every day? Can you answer that for me? I don't get it.
Yeah, and the U.S. government should be consistent. I applaud the government for its position in Ukraine, but they should take the same one at the southern border. Secure the border. A nation without a border is not a nation. And it is a crisis. This drug crisis, fentanyl, yep. It is a massive crisis that is killing Americans all over this nation. And politicians on the left, they're not doing a damn thing about it because they don't care. Look at, I mean, even the hypocrisy of California all of a sudden. You know, they're saying they're going to ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars very soon. And yet right now they're saying, please don't charge your electric cars because our grid can't handle it.
Shit, we got blackouts coming. Stop charging that. Right. Like, you can't make it up. You really can't.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Ban the sale of gas-powered cars. Which goes to the really deeper point of it's all about power and control. It's about taking away your firearms, literally taking away your car,
yep.
So that you're wholly dependent on services from the government for survival. Can you imagine the grid right now cannot handle, we're talking just keeping the lights on in California and the limited amount of electric vehicles they have. Can you imagine how things will be shut down in California if they actually do go through this asinine idea of blocking the sale of gas-powered cars?
But even better is the fact that the charging stations will be powered by coal and gas, which is even better.
Can't make this up.
Right? Like, but again, you're putting all these policies in place, and you don't have the actual solution. Right. Like to me, I coach football. It would be like, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to throw for 750 yards and we're going to rush for another 350. So we're going to have 1100 total yards today. Okay. How do we do that?
Good luck.
Yeah. How do we do that? Like, do we have a plan? Well, no, we didn't game plan. We didn't do film or anything. Like, okay. So how are you getting there? Right.
You're just going to run.
You're just going to like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no planning at all. It would be like school. We just talked to a teacher. Here's what we're going to teach our kids this year. Great. How are you going to do that? Well, we don't have any lesson plans. Okay. So how do you plan on getting that whole curriculum in?
I mean, even the streets of California, I mean, would you take your family to San Francisco or New York City or any of these cities with these massive homeless encampments? Absolutely not. California is a pigsty.
We should have my dad on one of these days to talk about that stuff. Cause my dad grew up in Queens. He knew New York City front and back. He lived there for 30 something years. He's been back there recently a few times for business and you know, he's got family there. I mean, it's an epic shithole. Right. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's an absolute disaster. And for him, it like breaks his heart. That's the city that never sleeps, right? That's the city of the cities in the world.
Well, in New York City, I mean, the financial crisis of the late 70s when Ed Koch was mayor. I remember going there as a kid in the early 80s with my older brother. So Times Square, especially in New York, went from being, you know, a hellhole in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then Rudy Giuliani came in, you know, and everybody criticized him. Wow, you're turning Times Square into...
Clicked a button there. My fault. Go ahead.
You love Times Square. but that's the entire point is that under Rudy Giuliani's leadership, you know, the no broken windows, cracking down on crime, New York City became a place for families.
Yep.
It generated revenue. It generated income where people wanted to go to New York for trips. I went to New York City all the time. And yes, Times Square looked nothing like it did in the 70s. Good. But now it went back to the hellhole that it was in the 70s and 80s under, you know, the leadership of Bill de Blasio, and the city's gone to hell in a handbasket. And you know what? Good. I hope Texas sends more illegal immigrants to New York City.
And again, what's crazy is, I'm going to go back to my original point, what's wrong with these people? It's obviously not a good strategy right now. Like, just watch a video or two, right? Talk to a resident of New York City or two. It's not working, and people are getting frustrated and they're scared for their lives. What else does government need to know?
Well, and need to know. And now I think it's hilarious that these big city mayors, Washington, New York, they're all for illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah.
They're all for it. Hey, let's create all these safe zones where illegals can go, or safe heroin sites, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, Texas starts busing illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. They're like, whoa.
Slow down. Wait a minute. Well, and Stefan, you bring up that that's another great one of our country in the last couple of years, like the safe shooting heroin zones. I know that. I've dealt with family, two brothers that had drug issues. The answer is not to just do them safely. That is not the answer to fix drug problems. Anybody that's been around drugs, and I'm very passionate about this, that doesn't work, right? It's like telling the alcoholic, well, instead of drinking vodka, just drink a beer. Right,
and do it here in this little square.
Yeah, and do it right here. Just drink a beer. It'll be safe. You know, if you need 30 beers, take 30 beers. It'll be safe right in this room. That's not the answer. The answer is to get them off the drugs. And safe shooting zones, anybody that knows what those are not, hey, let's rehab this person. It's, hey, let's just shoot it here. The needles are clean. That doesn't work, ever.
All right, you're just making the problem worse. And especially when it comes to crime, I mean, you can relate all of the issue of, okay, someone robbed a store, someone tried to rob it. Well, why?
Right.
Okay, what's the why? Okay, to supply a drug problem. But that's what, again, our so-called friends on the extreme left, they don't give a damn about fixing problems.
Yep.
They don't care. They want to pass feel-good laws and feel-good resolutions to get themselves elected again and again, to stay in political power, and they don't give a damn about the people they serve. That's what it really boils down to.
To Kamala Harris's point, maybe we should start diving into the root causes of some of these issues. She was onto something there, just not really doing a good job figuring it out. But I think that's one thing I'd say, Stefan, to what you said, right? Look at California. If you steal $999 of stuff, we're good here. Just don't steal $1,000. That's not the answer. The answer is stop stealing shit out of the convenience store. That's the answer.
Well, you know, and get back to that point about New York City. Look at New York City in the 70s and 80s compared to what it was when Rudy Giuliani was mayor, when he cracked down on crime, and to his credit, Michael Bloomberg as well. Yep. And all of a sudden, the radical socialist in de Blasio, soft on crime, soft on criminals, and it's turned into a hellhole. It's massive, massive law enforcement problem. But on the other end of the spectrum, when it comes to law enforcement, I know the FBI is taking a massive amount of heat. It's come to the attention. It was in the news over the weekend, the FBI raid on Donald Trump's house, how apparently they upended or searched Barron Trump's, like he's like 16 years old.
Yeah.
Like they basically went into his room, you know, tossed whatever they tossed, looking for whatever documents they're looking for. But yet Hunter Biden has never been investigated or looked at or raided in that respect.
The guy that has about 1,000 pictures online with a crack pipe and strippers, nothing to see there.
Well, you know, it's, I shouldn't say it's funny you say that. It's not funny about that. But that's what they got Elliot Spitzer on. You know, client number 9, the old governor, that he basically, that's how they were putting the screws to Elliot Spitzer, that he was transporting hookers across state lines from like New York to D.C. or Pennsylvania or Jersey, whatever it was. And that's how they really nailed Elliot Spitzer. Yep. What about Hunter Biden?
Can't do it. He's an upstanding citizen. Can't touch him.
but yet the FBI is also taking a lot of heat, too, because there was an agent that resigned, you know, over allegations that they're basically sweeping everything under the rug until after the 2020 election.
Here's my biggest problem at this point. If you had something on Donald Trump, let's go all the way back to like 2015, 2016. And then 2017, 2018, 2019, 2019. You see where I'm going here. And now we raid his house. That's what, 4 weeks ago now? That was 4 weeks ago, I think. If you had something would have stuck by now.
Right.
How many more times are you going to do this, delay things, do January 6th committees and all? If you had something on the guy, you would have had it already, and he would have been either jailed, charged, whatever it may be. If you really had something, and I'm not talking about fake, you know, impeachment scams and that kind of, I mean, actually charge a guy with a crime, put him behind bars. You don't have it and you can't find it. And that is really telling to me.
And the whole goal is to block him from running for president right. in 2024. Right. That's all this is. Right. It's the biggest scam to stop Donald Trump from running for president.
Yep.
And you look at all of the different information that's come into the public light about Hunter Biden, not even like any kind of a semblance of a raid, knocking down his door, criminal charges. So
talking to him, a right. simple conversation.
Well, and that's the frustration yeah. with law enforcement of being selective and being highly politicized. Yep. I mean, look at Joe Biden basically saying that if you question the integrity of an election, that you're a Nazi and a fascist because you're questioning the integrity of the election. What did the Democrats do in 2016 when Trump won? They questioned the election
for 4 years straight.
Right. Yeah. Russia, 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 yeah. Russia meddled in our investigation in the election. Russia did this. Russia did that. They questioned the integrity of American elections.
It's unbelievable that they don't see anything in history of what they said. Right. They say things for totally forget they said things or did things and then come back and act like. And again, to the point, too, Donald Trump was hated by the left back then. Who knows if there was cheating back then? He came back and ran again. The election has been proven at times. You look at the 2000 mules, you look at your statements that people have made involved as a, you know, whether it was a completely stolen or actually won by Trump, it's irrelevant. If there's one vote that was a cheating vote and there were hundreds and maybe thousands and tens of thousands of votes that shouldn't have been done the way they were, come on. Donald Trump supporters have a point here.
But under Joe Biden's analogy, you're basically, you hate America.
Yeah.
You're a racist. You're a Nazi.
Yeah.
I mean, they even found, like, you know, Hillary Clinton, Biden's current spokesperson, all yeah. questioning the 2016 election. But yet yeah. 4 years later,
yeah.
After the 2020 election, and now if you're questioning any kind of election integrity now,
yeah.
oh, wait a minute, you're this, you know, MAGA, crazy Donald Trump, passionate person, where, you know, Joe Biden's supposed to be the uniter in chief.
Real quick before we cut it for today, how outrageous was that stage last Thursday?
Oh, with the red in the background.
I mean, it's almost like they're purposely trying to look like idiots.
But I still don't understand, like, what they were trying to do.
I don't know.
I don't get the messaging behind it.
If his production people and his speechwriters and Kamala's speechwriter and they're just terrible. So if I'm the guy producing that and I'm okay, lights on, camera, action, go. Okay, great. I'm having oh my God, we got to turn the white lights on. Turn the white lights on, right? Like, you seriously, you would see that, you'd be like, okay, we have to change this a little bit. We may have misjudged what this would look like. They didn't. They kept it.
He's looking a little menacing with yeah. the military in the background, yep. the bright red lights.
Get in his ear, Joe. Stop bounding on the podium. Stop bounding on the
But that's why, like, these midterms are so important. Like, and I keep – everyone talks about – and I don't buy it, Mike. I don't buy it for a second, where you keep seeing these stories where they're saying, well, the red wave is going to be more like a ripple.
Right.
There's not going to be that much. If you look at Joe Biden's approval rating – right now, I think it's a 42-43%. Yeah. It's basically the same as Donald Trump's. He was at 40% approval rating when the midterms were rolling around yeah. when Donald Trump was president, and they lost like 42 seats in the House. I mean, Republicans only need to flip 5 seats in order to win a majority, and Kevin McCarthy is going to be the next speaker. And I don't buy it, where the media is really just rolling this narrative of it's not going to be that bad.
Yep.
You know, Republicans may not even win the Senate. You may flip a few houses in the House. I just don't see the math of that happening. I think there's going to be a red tidal wave. I really do.
And I hope there is. We've said this now, I think, Stefan, 6 months we've been doing this. We've said this all 6 months. We have to have a tidal wave. There's nothing else that can happen in this country. I mean, we are spiraling. And I don't mean that in a negative way, like, this country sucks. I love our country. I think we have the greatest country in the world, and I want better days. And we have to vote that way, because what we're seeing right now, and it's not because it's the left. If Donald Trump was the president and the same stuff was going on, I'm the first one to say, I think Donald Trump made a major mistake in the beginning of COVID, signing off on handing out trillions of dollars for people to sit at home. I thought that was a colossal mistake, and he did it. We can have those conversations and be realistic, right? I know Mike and Glenn have talked about Donald Trump with tariffs, stuff that they haven't agreed with on that side, on the money side. But at some point, the left has to look themselves in the mirror and say, this isn't working. People are dying. People are overdosing. The border's a disaster. Our police officers are not getting any better under this Donald Trump, or Joe Biden administration. The relationship between African Americans and cops isn't getting any better. The mental health of cops isn't getting any better. You know, how many other issues can we talk about? The cities aren't getting any better. Well, what happened to that?
I'm an eternal optimist. I always think of Ronald Reagan's campaign commercial of, you know, morning in America.
Yep.
And it's a message of hope and optimism, the beauty of America. I mean, you know, late 70s, we had the hostage situation in Iran.
Yep.
Long lines for gasoline, gasoline rationing, super high inflation. And so the country took a course correction with that 1980 election. Ronald Reagan became president, and then we had 8 years of prosperity. So when I say I'm the eternal optimist, I truly hope that America can make a course correction again. Yep. And we start that in 2022 with the midterm elections. And yep. then we start it in 2024, whether it's Donald Trump, DeSantis, Noam, the governor in, yep. in South Dakota, whether it's her or anyone else. I think America is the greatest country in the world, and we can change for the better with the right leadership.
And I believe that we have to.
We don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice, right? This system and this administration is not working. We've seen that. We're seeing it more than most people because we live in New York State. Those types of policies that flow through our state are not working. As taxpayers, it's not working. We pay the highest taxes or some of the highest taxes in the country. Our biggest cities, the city of Buffalo, Rochester, and obviously New York City, not the safest places to be in the world. Hopefully people get out to the ballot box and don't do what they did here recently with the New York State elections and have 13% of people show up.
Well, people have to get off the keyboard,
yep.
get off your computer,
yep.
and get involved, whether it's getting involved in a campaign or a school yep. board or registering to vote. Yep. You have no complaints whatsoever if you're not involved. And that means, again, stop being a keyboard warrior and get in the fight. Yep. And if that fight even means just getting out and voting, fine,
yep.
do that. But we need a course correction in this country. Republicans need to take over this House. We need to win major elections in 2022 and return a Republican to the White House in 2024.
And to end this on a good note, go Bills on Thursday.
Got my lucky hat on.
Opening week, opening game of the NFL season. Never thought I'd see the Bills playing in that one. And
let me just 13 seconds in that. Yeah. Kansas yeah. City game. I think the Bills would have destroyed the Rams in the Super Bowl. Destroyed them.
I definitely think it was an AFC championship game that you had a very high chance of winning, and then getting to the Super Bowl and you know who knows what would have happened. I agree with you. I do think the Bills would have beaten the Rams, but hopefully we can start this season out, get through these first few games because I know they're tough, and then get yourself to the playoffs and.
Super Bowl bound.
That's right. Knock it out. All right, folks. Thanks again. We will be back next Tuesday. If you need us throughout the week, 833 Finn Guys. And don't forget now all of these podcasts, myself and Stefan, Lomas and Wiggle, and Mike Hayflick and I are now can be found on financialguysmedia.com. Follow us on Twitter at Finn Guys and like us on Facebook and Instagram, The Financial Guys. Thanks again, and we will see you next week.